What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Big announcement coming up in about 15 minutes where we will be in Arizona, our Super Bowl coverage. Gets phone calls coming up. We settled on a poll question, a Fritzy poll question, and vote at your own risk. And Tyler standing by, taking your phone calls, 877-3DP-SHOW. He's our good buddy. He's the Monday morning quarterback. He's Albert Breer, joins us on the program. Help me understand what's going on with Baltimore with Greg Roman stepping down. I don't know if that means you're fired, you part ways mutually, but what's this mean for Lamar Jackson's future there?
I don't know what it means a whole lot on Lamar Jackson's future because that contract situation is so complicated, Dan. I do think it shows a sign that they want – it is a sign that they want to push their offense forward. And where Greg Roman, I think, did a lot in building the right sort of offense for Lamar Jackson coming out of college – the same way he built an offense for Colin Kaepernick in San Francisco, I think now the feeling is we need to move the passing game to another level. And, you know, that is probably what necessitated some staff changes. And so, look, it's not all Greg's fault. Like, you know, they lose Rashad Bateman for the year, who's shown a ton of promise as their first-round pick from 2021. And the cupboard certainly wasn't full at receiver with Hollywood Brown having been traded before the season too. I don't think it's all on Greg, but I do think it's an acknowledgement that they have to push the offense forward, which I think would appeal to Lamar. But again, like the contract situation itself is so complicated that I don't see that this solves or ruins anything, if that makes sense.
But if Lamar Jackson said, here's the deal. $230 million guaranteed, and I'm going to sign this contract.
Yeah.
Can it be that simple?
Sure. The Ravens aren't doing that right now. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I think the divide here is what you think it is, which is the Ravens are willing to go to the top of the quarterback market, but they want to do it on a more traditional quarterback contract, whereas Lamar wants a fully guaranteed deal. And look, it's really easy to understand from Lamar's perspective. If you think about it, he's just put his body on the line for 5 years in an unprecedented way for a quarterback. And if you're him and you've gone through that and you finished the last 2 years injured, if your team says, well, we want you to mitigate our injury risk 3 years from now by making the last couple of years of a new deal non-guaranteed, what are you going to say to him? You're probably going to look at him sideways, you know? So at the same time, you know, you can understand why the Ravens would want to mitigate their risk, because his first 3 years in the league, you can look at Lamar and say it's risky to play him that way, but he wasn't getting hurt. Now he is getting hurt. He's finished the last 2 years injured. So because of that and all of that, it's, you know, a complicated situation. And I don't know that there's an easy fix here. I do think there's going to be a tell, though. When we get to that period where the franchise tags are issued, which is the end of February, beginning of March, right around the combine, the Ravens are going to have to make a decision on whether or not to put the non-exclusive tag on them or the exclusive tag. Exclusive tag is going to cost about $45 million. The non-exclusive tag is about $30 million. They put the exclusive tag on them at that higher number, they're effectively taking them off the market, so no one else can talk to them. And at that point, it behooves them to get a long-term deal done because they want to lower that cap number. If they put the non-exclusive tag on them, things get a lot more interesting, because then other teams can't – it's not just that other teams can talk to them. Other teams at that point can sign them to an offer sheet and have them for two first-round picks. So I think that's the next real checkpoint in this whole saga.
Byron Leftwich getting fired in Tampa, more likely or less likely that Tom Brady would go back, or does this not have any impact whatsoever on Brady?
I don't think it's likely Brady goes back there, but it makes it more likely, I would say. I do think there are some things about what the way the offense worked this year, you know, that frustrated Tom Brady. And, you know, part of it is, again, personnel. You know, you lose Ryan Jensen for the year. You lose Alex Kappa in free agency. Allie Marpet retires. You know, their tackles got banged up over the course of the year. There's no question that personnel had something to do with it, but I don't know that, you know, Tom Brady believes in Byron Leftwich the same way he believed in Josh McDaniels, the same way he believed in Billy O'Brien. And so I do think, you know, hearing Rick Stroud say Billy O'Brien would be a candidate to be the next offensive coordinator in Todd Bowles. I think Rick said that last week. I mean, that's a carrot for Tom Brady, you know? So I think which way they go with their offensive coordinator hire will probably be a pretty good indication of how realistic they think bringing Tom Brady is back. But I think if Brady's playing in 2023, in all likelihood, it's somewhere else.
Help me understand the Raiders' logic that you say goodbye to Derek Carr in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Now you're open for business at that position. Normally, if you do something like that, you have an idea who you're bringing in.
Yep.
Right.
They have options, though. That's the thing, is they've got two guys who've got an extensive background in their system, in Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, who both those guys have a freeway to free agency right now. You know what I mean? Like, those guys, like, there's no franchise tags. There's nothing to stop those guys from getting to the market. And Josh McDaniels has a relationship with both of those guys. And so, you know, I think you have a pretty good idea that there's going to be an option out there for you. And, you know, I know I've used this example with you before, Dan, but it's sort of the Alex Smith in Kansas City situation, you know, where I think when they signed Derek Carr to that contract, the logic behind it was, you know, we're going to turn him into our Alex Smith. And that would mean he's sort of your long-term bridge, where he's going to be your quarterback for the next few years. You can be competitive with him in there. You can build around him. You can continue to construct a roster that can support a young quarterback. And then when you find somebody you think's really special, you can strike and then trade the veteran away. I just think they looked at Derek Carr and there were, you know, issues with toughness, issues with competitiveness, issues with getting the most out of the people around him that they had, that caused them to sort of look around and seeing those two guys potentially being out there now, you know, absolutely going to be out there on the market. You say to yourself, there's a better long-term bridge out there for us than Derek Carr, especially at the number that he's going to that he's commanding right now.
He's the Monday Morning Quarterback, Albert Breer. You can go to MondayMorningQuarterback.com. Sean Payton more likely to take a job this year or go back into TV?
I sort of think he's going to go back into TV. You know, I think this is sort of a day-to-day thing with him. You
all
know,
this
I just,
talk about all of these openings and
but I mean, like, here's the thing is, like, I know, like, two things that are really important to him are geography and quarterback, right? And, like, I think staying close to Los Angeles would have been ideal for him, which is why the Chargers kept coming up, because the Chargers emphatically check both those boxes. And then, you know, you hear his comments, which he made publicly, about there being some organizations where you just can't win, right? And how the quarterback affects that. And, like, Arizona and Denver, can he win there? You know, because, like, you look at the quarterback contracts in those two places, and it's not like, okay, like, I'm going to take this guy out for a test drive for a year and then get rid of him. Like, those contracts sort of lock those guys into those franchises for the next few years. And like Sean Payton at his age might only have one more shot at this. So does he want to hitch his future to Russell Wilson in Denver? Does he want to hitch his future to Kyler Murray in Arizona? I'm not sure that he does. And I actually think the Houston situation might be more interesting.
Yeah, you know, I said that too.
You know, like, because like, you get to pick your own quarterback there. And look, like, part of it is you're dealing with more unknown in Houston, but you pick your own quarterback there. You've got two first-round picks in each of the next two drafts. Now, maybe you have to give up one of those to get them, but you've still got a lot of them, you know? And in Denver or Arizona, you'd be giving them up, and then you wouldn't have much left, you know? You have cap space. You have some young talent. The team was competitive at the end of the year. Like, I just look at it like if I'm Sean Payton right now, I'm probably studying Bryce Young. You know what I mean? Like, I'm probably looking pretty hard at Bryce Young and saying to myself, how much do I like this kid? Because if I can draft him into Houston, now I've got him on a rookie contract at a fraction of what I'd be paying Wilson in Denver or Murray in Arizona. And I have him on that contract for the next few years, and I have all these picks to build around him. I just think, like, Houston to me, there's just something that's more interesting about that situation. You know, if I'm Sean Payton, and again, you're doing it without the certainty at quarterback, which uncertainty on other parts of the roster, which, you know, like, you're going to have to get some draft picks right. You're going to have to get some free agents right. But I think it's an intriguing situation to sort of build the franchise in your own image if you want to. The other thing is, like, you know, if you sit and wait and you decide to go do TV for another year, maybe that Chargers job is open in 2024.
If you were the Chargers, would you have made that move?
You know, I really like Brandon Staley as a coach. I think he's got potential. So, you know, I'm hesitant to say yes. The only reason why is because I do think when you hire somebody at Brandon Staley's age, like, you have to give that guy some runway. He was only a coordinator for 1 year. So, like, all the game management stuff and everything else, he's still learning it. And he's really, really smart. And, like, I think having a chance to go get the coordinator hire right. Remember, he wanted to hire Kevin O'Connell first when he got to the Chargers. And, like, by the looks of it, that would have been a home run hire. The Rams blocked O'Connell from going. So you give him another chance of getting that right. And I think there's a chance that, like, Staley could wind up looking like a home run 5 years from now. Hmm. The problem is that Sean Payton's a home run right now. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And Sean Payton with Justin Herbert really sounds like it could be a home run right now. And you look at, like, the construct of that roster, and Justin's young, but the rest of that roster, like, it's all guys that are in the middle of the prime of their careers, you know? Like, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, Derwin James. Like, you're in a championship window right now. So I think that's the question. If I'm a Charger, if I'm one of the Spanoses, like, that's my question is, like, I really believe in Brandon Staley, maybe. And I really believe he's going to grow into something special. But given what I have today, right now, can I sell out what we have right now for, you know, what it might, for what we might have in 5 years, if that makes sense?
What's the NFL's end game with all these games in Europe?
I think at one point they wanted to put a team over there. I had a number of people in the, like, at the executive level in the NFL office tell me that it was initially a 15-year plan when they started the international series in 2007. And so that would put us right now. Like, right now is when you'd have a team in London. I think the logistical issues got in the way of that. I know at one point they even studied air travel to see if there were advances coming in air travel that might alleviate some of the logistical issues. But I just think, like, the idea of having, like, Seattle play in a playoff game in London in a one-off sort of situation that they can't plan around was going to make it too difficult. But I think they want to continue to grow those markets in Germany and England. And, you know, I think the next couple frontiers, probably Brazil, Spain, like, I think those are coming. And the goal really, Dan, is to continue to grow revenue. I mean, that's what it is at the end of the day, you know. And I think when Roger became commissioner, there was this feeling that they had gotten done growing up, like, with the construction league, what it was, they'd gotten done growing up. So they needed to start growing out and growing inventory. And so, you know, that's 17 games. That's Thursday night football. That's putting 14 teams rather than 12 in the playoffs. That's going back to Los Angeles and adding the two teams. And that ultimately is going international. It's adding inventory to what you already have.
What about Mexico City, given the proximity, or, you know, a team in Canada?
Yeah, I think if the money was there, they would have done it already. You know, it's funny. Like, I think we all, I think you'd agree with this. Germany is a much better market for football than the UK, right?
Yeah.
You'd agree with that? Like, you know, there have actually been like players like Bjorn Werner and Sebastian Vollmer that have come there. There's the history with the military bases there. Michael Strahan was born there, you know, and like how American football has actually been played there. NFL Europe, all the teams were in Germany. The reason they didn't go to Germany the reason they went to London first is because they thought there was more money to be made in London. And, you know, like whether they were right or wrong, that was always the feeling. And so, you know, I think the group of owners that are, you know, running the show now, they're about the bottom line. And, you know, for one reason or another, they didn't feel like the money, there was enough money to be made in Mexico City or Toronto to put a team there full time. Otherwise, they would have done it. And they did feel like there was promise for that in London. Like, you put one or two teams in London and now you're really growing the pie. I don't think that they felt like adding a team in Mexico City or Toronto would grow the pie enough for them to, you know, change the math on everything and do all the things that would be needed to do it.
Your upset special this weekend is?
And Cincinnati's not an upset, is it?
Okay, surprise.
I had the Bengals winning. I'd keep an eye on the Cowboys. They looked like a different team on Monday night, you know? And I really believe in the Niners roster, the Niners coaching staff. Like, if we get into a critical situation at the end of the fourth quarter, is a seventh round rookie going to be able to steer the ship? You know? So I look at all of the games. I think all of the games have potential for upset. Like, you know, but the Cowboys are the team, like I sort of look at them and did they find something in Tampa, you know, and you got all these people doubting them now and there's talent on that roster and Dak feels doubted and Mike McCarthy feels doubted and they've been told for 3 years how everybody's jobs are on the line. There's part of me that wonders, like, you know, if they can create a little havoc for Brock Purdy early in that game and they've got the guys to do it with Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence, could they get that game into the fourth quarter where maybe you would bet on Dak Prescott pulling through in the last 5 minutes over Brock?
And it comes down to a field goal by Brett Maher,
who missed four extra points.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it'd be a great redemption story, right? So he can throw him on the list with McCarthy and Dak as being disrespected, right?
Can Brock Purdy play his way out of being the starter next year?
I think that's going to sort of depend on opportunity, you know. I think if they have the opportunity to sign Tom Brady, do they take it with the roster that they have? You know, what does Trey Lance look like coming back off the injury? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is not coming back, but I'd say that those are the two like variables.
Brady is a real possibility?
Huh?
You think Brady's a real possibility in San Francisco?
I think the Niners have left that door open since deciding not to do it in 2020. So, like, I think it'd be a consideration for the Niners. I think they'd certainly meet on it. They'd certainly talk about it.
Wow.
I think it would absolutely be on the table. I mean, what's great about Purdy, you know, like, and I think this is what's going to be so interesting about Purdy is, you know, I had somebody tell me this that, you know, and I know the Niners like this about him coming out of college was, and this is something you have to do in the NFL at times. Like, how many times at Iowa State did he have to be the best player on the field for them to win? You know, like, it's different than like a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields or, you know, even a Trevor Lawrence, like coming out of their schools. Like, how many times did Brock Purdy have to be the best player on the field to win at Iowa State?
Every weekend.
Every weekend. You know what I mean? Like, so you know, when you're talking about a quarterback's ability to maybe level up and be equal to the circumstances, I think that's what they see in Brock Purdy right now. Like, I think internally that's what they see in Brock Purdy right now. And I think that there's real intrigue in the idea of building around him. And I don't think it's the worst idea in the world to look at this and say, maybe we should go into the spring and throw the doors open and have Brock Purdy and Trey Lance battle it out and let the best man win.
Yeah, well, they're cheap, you know, with their contracts. Certainly Purdy is. Yep. You could bring in Brady for a year and have Purdy be his understudy there.
Right. Let those two guys compete to be the number two.
Number two. Have a great weekend. Always great to talk to you. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
All righty. That's the Monday Morning Quarterback. That's Albert Breer. All right. We'll take a break. Got our play of the day coming up. And we'll reveal where we're doing our show in Arizona at the Super Bowl. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Hour two on this Friday. It's a Meat Friday at that. In case you're wondering, the Traeger grills have been fired up. Chinese barbecue pork over rice, pork and vegetable dumplings. There's one Danette who is very, very excited about Meat Friday.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Todd. Who has it better than we do?
Zero people.
Wait, you guys okay with the food today?
Oh, yeah. It's just zero people. He jumped the gun.
I mixed it up a little bit.
Just letting Todd have that moment right there.
I appreciate that.
Okay. By the way, the NFL lines, according to DraftKings, Jacksonville getting 8.5, Giants getting 7.5, Bengals getting 5.5, Cowboys getting 4 against the Niners. Mike Golic, Big Mike, Westwood One NFL analyst, and joining us on behalf of DraftKings, a sports podcaster. He will be on the call in the booth, Cowboys-Niners, Westwood One Sunday, kickoff at 6:30 Eastern. Good to see you, Mike. The thing we're overrating about this game and the thing we're underrating about this game?
Well, I think what we're possibly overrating here, well, I don't know if it's overrating to say what Christian McCaffrey is doing, but we might be overrating saying that though I think San Francisco is the better team, there's a lot of people that think this is a team that's going to the Super Bowl. But Dallas played so well last week that but inconsistently throughout the year. I actually did the first game, a couple of their games, the first game against Tampa Bay in week one, which was a horrible game. So I actually think that it's possible that San Francisco could be overrated because winning 11 in a row and Dallas can be a little underrated, even though they played very well last week. So I'd probably lean there. The guy that's been, and he's finally getting his due. We all said this at the beginning of the season. Let Pollard run the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be the guy over Zeke, but Zeke had been the man for so long. It was almost like you wanted to tiptoe into that and walk on eggshells when it was like, this guy is a proven better home run hitter than Zeke. He had a better year than Zeke. Zeke had all lows in career lows in rushing yards. So I think from an individual standpoint, Pollard has been the underrated one because I think people are afraid to step on the toes of Zeke Elliott when this is a meritocracy, man. You get the job done, you get the job, and Pollard deserves more time on the field.
But I wonder if this has to do with Jerry Jones giving Zeke Elliott that contract extension. And I, at the time, said, why do I want to get a running back like that 5 more years? Like, I got 5, I'll move on. And Pollard was the better running back and has been that home run hitter. So I don't know if that was ego that Jerry's like, no, he's got to play because I don't want to look like I just, you know, wasted money.
Jerry Jones and ego? No, never. That would never happen, Dan. I mean, come on, seriously. Of course it was. I mean, we were all wondering why he was giving everybody in the world a deal instead of Dak Prescott and ends up having given Dak a deal after Dak gets hurt. Sure it was. Yeah. Every owner GM has an ego. We're going to find out what goes on in San Francisco down the road with Trey Lance. You know, John Lynch as a GM, he's a great player, but now as a GM, he doesn't want to be wrong on the fact that they traded up to the number 3 spot for Trey Lance. They tried to force him in this year, you know, and push Garoppolo aside. And let's be honest, San Francisco is where they are because Jimmy Garoppolo needed shoulder surgery. If he didn't need shoulder surgery, he would have been traded away. He'd have been gone. And Brock Purdy would have had to take over early in the season. We have no idea if he would have played that well early on. So, yeah, going back to Dallas and Zeke, yes, it was an ego of Jerry Jones. But Pollard has proven right now he is the better back in the backfield.
We had Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, on last hour. And he brought up something that I had not heard about Brock Purdy because it's a small sample size. But I said, you know, you get a feeling that you know who Brock Purdy is. He said he talked to a scout who said Brock Purdy had to be the best player on the field every single weekend at Iowa State if they had a chance to win. So it's not like he went in and went, hey, I got an offense around me. I have to be great every single weekend. And I think that philosophy is he's not a game manager. He wants to make plays. He's used to making big plays.
So I called a couple of his games at Iowa State where he set those 32 school records. So obviously when you're doing the games, you get a chance to sit down and talk with these guys. And he's extremely competitive. Now, a lot of guys in the sport are competitive. I mean, that, I think that can be an overused word. But to your point and what you're saying, you know, you're right. You know, he doesn't care who he has out there. It's not one of those, oh, give me more weapons. It's like, I'm going to make do with the weapons that I have. And he continued from that. Again, it would have been interesting, and I'm sure they're glad it didn't happen if Garoppolo was gone and Purdy did have to take over early on in the season, if there would have been this much success. But he's a very confident guy, and confidence is great, but you still have to go execute on the field. He's also it's kind of a balancing act, Dan, because you got to give Brock Purdy all the credit in the world. But while we're throwing roses, let's also understand that the three touchdowns, his wide receivers had at least a five-yard cushion. He was throwing to wide-open receivers. Now, again, that was in a playoff game, and he's thrown well throughout. So before people sit there and say, oh, Golic's trashing this guy, he has done a great job. But you got to give Kyle Shanahan credit. And how about Brian Griese,
yeah,
who was taken over as the quarterback coach there, mm-hmm, as well? And the fact that, You know this, Dan, when we were teammates at ESPN, I mean, the trade deadline in the NFL was just a date. Nobody did anything. Now, Christian McCaffrey and TJ Hockenson have shown, man, you can really make some hay at the trade deadline. So you have McCaffrey, you have Elijah Mitchell, you have Deebo Samuel, you have Brandon Ayuk, who has a career year, and George Kittle. So you now have a pre-snap read for Brock Purdy, who's a smart quarterback, to at least go, okay, I got a couple spots I can go here because I have monster mismatches on the field because of all this talent that's on the field. So it is working hand in hand with the weapons that he has, with the play caller and Shanahan he has, with the quarterback coach he has, and with Brock Purdy himself, who has really, really grabbed a hold of this situation.
He's Mike Golic. He'll be in the booth for the Cowboys and the 49ers, Westwood One Radio, Sunday kickoff at 6:30 Eastern. How much of the pregame will you focus on Brett Maher kicking field goals or extra points?
Well, you have to. I go down on the field before every game to talk to players and coaches, and the kickers are the first ones out on the field. So you kind of get their range. You know, it certainly can be windy in San Francisco to see where there are their ranges on both sides. But let me tell you, kickers got to be like golfers. I mean, what a mental side this has to be in this game, and the miss and then miss and then miss and then miss again. You know, I'm not one that says I feel bad for players. We're all on the field. We all are trying to make plays, and we all get embarrassed at times. So, like, I feel bad for the family probably more than the player, but you got to put him back out there. I know they had another kicker in practice and they were going over, and Brett made 5 of 5 and this other guy made 3 of 5. Brett's going to be the kicker. And you know what? You in the beginning, especially, you have to put him out there. You have to say, if you're going to have him on the active roster in the beginning of the game, you have to have the confidence to send him out there and make the kick. So if he goes out there and doesn't make him again, then you rethink a 4th and 3 or 4th and 4.
I mentioned this in the first hour of the show. How many great quarterbacks are there in the NFL? Like, truly great? Because I don't think the list is as long as people think. I would go, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Rodgers and Brady are emeritus, but they're not great quarterbacks anymore.
Right.
I got Joe Burrow, who is great.
Yes.
I got Josh Allen, who's great. After that, who's great?
Well, I think Justin Herbert wants to jump into that category. I think you look what we have in the AFC side of the playoffs and these young quarterbacks. Wow. The future of that going forward. I think he's the next one that could bust into that category. But I agree more with you than others who say there are 8 to 10. I don't think there are. Truly great. Because you're juggling, you're right, the Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady of how can you not say they're great? But they're not playing their best right now. They're just not. Tom did last year play great, but this year did not. So I'm with you on the smaller amount. I would say that Justin Herbert is the next guy to jump into that. Maybe Jalen Hurts, if he's healthy, proven he's can be the future quarterback of that team. But I'm a big Justin Herbert fan, even though I know a lot of people tear him down a little bit when they continue to build that team around him.
I had somebody compare Dak Prescott. Do you want to guess who they compared Dak Prescott to? Current quarterback.
I'm horrible at guessing. Who was it?
Kirk Cousins.
Really? See, well, I mean, I guess until you get past a certain point, you know, in the playoffs, and we know Dallas hasn't gotten past this point in a while, and Dak is over in this situation in the divisional round. So, you know, until you pass a point, you get compared with those that haven't passed that point as well while having good stats. So I get it. Kirk Cousins, who, I mean, all year we've doubted Minnesota, right? I mean, but this year seemed different because they were always behind Green Bay, and this year they were in front of Green Bay. But we were always like, eh, you know what? Can they get it done? And we always pointed to Kirk Cousins. Quite honestly, their defense isn't very good. While Kirk Cousins worked the business of football better than anybody, I get not having the faith in him. And Dak has to prove for America's team that he can get past this point to get out of that comparison. So I understand it by how far you go.
Give me the surprise this weekend. I don't want to say upset, but because I don't know if Dallas beats the Niners, they're only a 4-point underdog or three and a half now.
Yeah.
You got an upset or a surprise?
Well, I actually called last week the Giants beating Minnesota. And as you know, it's all about us being right and not the game being right. It's about how good we look. So listen, the Giants, can they lose all three to Philly this year? You know, we went through that. I called the Cincinnati-Baltimore game last week. They had split during the regular season. I think a lot depends on Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts, does he kick all the rust off him? The Giants are hot right now. I think it's going to be very difficult for Jacksonville in Kansas City, though I love what Jacksonville's doing. Talking to Doug Peterson a few weeks ago, the main word for him, he said with his team, is trust. And God knows after last year and that debacle with Urban Meyer, the players needed to trust somebody. Yeah. But while I was a former Eagle and I loved being an Eagle and I think they're an unbelievably complete team, Jalen Hurts and the injury, Jalen Hurts and the possible rust, and the way the Giants are playing, they're playing the way you can win in the playoffs. Run, control the ball, and play really good defense. Dexter Lawrence in the middle using his hands is so much fun to watch. I can't believe he and I played the same position, quite honestly. It's unbelievable what he's doing. So while all Eagle fans are saying, Golic is a former Eagle, how the hell can you say this? The Giants are playing well right now, and the Eagles need Jalen to get back up to where he was playing before.
Always great to talk to you. Safe travels. My best to the family. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dan. Good to talk to you.
That's Mike Golic, Westwood One. He'll be in the booth, the Niners and the Cowboys. I like that somebody's, you know, flipping through the dial, and they're used to hearing Golic on ESPN. They're like, wait, what? Good to have him back. But he'll be on the call for the Cowboys and the 49ers. We'll get some phone calls in here. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. We mentioned last hour where we will be with our Super Bowl coverage. We're going to be at Scottsdale Stadium. They gave us the stadium. The Giants, San Francisco Giants, and I do love that ballpark. Spent many afternoon there watching baseball on the hill. Great, great ballpark there. And the San Francisco Giants said, come on in. It's yours for the week. Our first guest on Monday morning, Super Bowl week, is J.J. Watt. Does he bring his son?
Oh, yeah.
I would hope.
Early?
Yeah. You know, you like puppies, you like babies. I mean, it's all about content. Fritzy, could you see if maybe J.J., and he's now retired, brings his wife? She can take care of the baby until he comes on the set, and then he has the baby there.
That's a fabulous idea.
Thank you, Todd. All right, poll question for hour two, but you're going to recap hour one, Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, Dan, let me recap hour one for you. We had to put it up just on the website. Usually we do it on Twitter and the website, but it was a little wordy, so it's only on the website.
Okay.
Yeah. Least likely headline from the divisional playoff weekend.
Do we want Todd to read them? It's his poll question.
It is his special day.
Do we want him to?
Do we want him?
I tried to when I said least likely. That was mine.
All right, how about you imitate Todd?
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Oh, by the way, I reached out to Darius Rucker last night, and said, you know, I'll have an update here. I'll have an update. How about we take a break here?
I just saw Darius Rucker retired.
No, because Fritzy won the bet. The Dolphins didn't go to the Super Bowl. Fritzy gets to sing two songs. I reached out to Darius last night, and I'll let you know what he had to say about it. Plus, we will update the poll results as well. All of that, plus Deion Sanders, a big score for Deion. He's already showing how valuable he will be at Colorado. Take a break. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Paulie Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course you know us as the host of the number one rated Paulie and Tony Fusco show.
World renowned.
We all know you're sick and tired of these stupid sports shows where the hosts say stupid things like Tom Brady's the GOAT.
Or LeBron James is good at basketball, which he is clearly not.
See, we give you smart takes.
Yeah.
And we also bring on so-called famous guests from across the sports world and show them why we know much more than they do.
You're off the show!
Are you serious?
Listen to the Paulie and Tony Fusco show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what they say, Taylor. Yes, I have a Taylor Swift sweatshirt on. It was a Christmas gift, and I am damn proud to wear it. Yes, Seton?
Now, this is not off of Midnights, though, which is your current.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Okay.
Early, Tay-Tay.
This is early.
Yes, Swifties.
Vintage.
Yes. They say good things come to those who wait, like me getting my Taylor Swift sweatshirt for Christmas yesterday. Mercedes-Benz SUV family proves otherwise. It takes no time at all to set up a test drive at your local Mercedes-Benz dealer. Learn more at mbusa.com. She's Mina Kimes, the peripatetic ESPN NFL analyst, senior writer, podcast host, TV contributor, joining us on the program. Mina, good morning. How's morale?
Well, it's great. Now that you call me peripatetic, I don't think I've ever been called that in my life.
Well, you're busy. You're on a lot of different shows. NFL Live Monday through Friday. And then I saw you on Around the Horn. You're breaking down the games this weekend. And I said to Fritzy, Mina Kimes needs to come on because you were giving me some great insight there. So if you want to recap a little bit, but I did want to start with this. The most overrated storyline this weekend is what?
Ooh, the most overrated storyline. I don't know if people are serious about this, but Trevor Lawrence winning on Saturdays is kind of cracking me up. As a stat. Yeah. A lot of very let's just say lesser quality schools in that Saturday record.
Okay, and the most underrated storyline.
You know, for underrated, I don't. Let me think. Usually, it's like guys returning from injuries that come to mind for me. So I'll throw one out there. I actually think, you know, we talked a lot in the Cap to the Cowboys game a lot about Dak Prescott, which gave us, I think, more confidence going into this Niners game, certainly, than we would have otherwise seen that performance. But I really thought the return of Leighton Vander Esch, Cowboys linebacker, mm-hmm. was integral for playing San Francisco, because if they didn't have him, I think that defense wouldn't have a chance.
You brought up some things about the Giants now playing the Eagles. Eagles off last week. Giants seem like they got momentum. Danny Dimes, are they going to turn him loose? Is he going to run? So give the audience a little bit of a summation of what you saw the last time these two teams played.
Yeah, it was week 14, right? Because the final game of the season didn't count. And the Eagles, as a refresher, people who have forgotten, absolutely trounced the Giants. Now, I was thinking, watching that, and thinking, okay, how are these teams different? What could New York do differently? And then one thing that jumped out, of course, is the Giants were missing several players on their defense who returned, and you saw them make a contribution in the wild card game, especially in their secondary, Xavier Kinney, Adoree Jackson. But the Eagles also were missing Dallas Goedert, and the Giants are probably the worst or one of the two worst defenses in the NFL at defending tight ends. You saw that on display also, by the way, with T.J. Hockenson. I think for the Giants to have a shot in this, there's a lot of confidence right now coming off of the Minnesota game, and I do think it is earned. This is a Giants team that is extraordinarily well-coached, has improved a lot over the course of the season, is agnostic when it comes to game planning offensively. They'll completely tailor their game plan to their opponents. However, you could not have drawn up a worse defensive game plan for them than what Minnesota did. Now, Eagles fans are a little bit worried because their defensive coordinator, Jonathan Gannon, runs like a similar soft zone. But watching week 14, even when they were in zone, I was just struck by how much better they are at tackling and closing than the Vikings are. And I think this Eagles pass defense really might be underrated. I don't know. Do you guys feel that way? It feels almost like people forgot about the Eagles. I don't know if it's because Hurts is hurt or Like, this is a really dominant football team.
I don't think they have names. That's the, you know, they don't have a Jalen Ramsey or an Aaron Donald. They're missing that. But I think if, and you watch more tape than I have certainly, but the offensive and defensive line, it feels like the Eagles have the best team for having both those offensive line, defensive line. Is that fair assessment, how they grade out?
1,000%. And that's an issue for the Giants because, you know, Daniel Jones and Saquon were terrific last week, but Dexter Lawrence took over that football game. Yeah. And then unfortunately, who's their, you know, nose tackle, who might be the best pass rushing nose tackle in football, but the Eagles, as you just said, have probably the best interior offensive line in the NFL. And then the other side, nobody really talks about their pass rush. But Hassan Reddick, who was an all-pro, and I think that surprised some people, has had a hell of a year. And unfortunately for New York, outside of Andrew Thomas at left tackle, still a lot of weaknesses on that offensive line.
What do you see when you watch Brock Purdy?
I just, first of all, I'd say like, I enjoy watching him so much because he has so much dip on his chip. Like, he just will try sidearm throws, making plays on the run, that I don't think we've seen like a Niners quarterback really do. It's very funny when, you know, there's pressure and he is able to make stuff happen outside of the pocket. But for the most part, you know, watching him against Seattle, it's just watching someone kind of pilot a well-oiled machine. And you're hoping, and in the first half, he wasn't very good. You're hoping that they can just, you know, execute, pull all the levers and execute because, I mean, I'm not the first person. The Niners' offense is so well schemed up, and the skill players are so impossible to cover. You don't really need that much at quarterback. You don't need someone who's going to elevate things outside of a few plays here and there.
We talk about the Cowboys, and we always center focus on the quarterbacking position. And Dak Prescott's talked about, you know, certain things he needed to clean up, and Mike McCarthy talks about certain things that he needs to clean up. What exactly does he need to clean up?
I think McCarthy's done a really good job this year, especially navigating some of the injuries. So when I watched them, and certainly when I watched them on this last weekend outside of the, of course, extra point fiasco, they were pretty flawless. Dak was, this is his best game of the season, maybe the best game of his career, and obviously the turnover is the thing you're going to go to first. But the thing about last week that struck me is, so a lot of Dak's turnovers happen because he throws into tight windows. Some of that is because the Cowboys receivers don't get a lot of separation. But it's also like Dak Prescott has never seen a seam ball he didn't want to rip. And watching against the Bucs, he was still ripping him. Like, he was still throwing that ball into tight windows. You know, in another universe, some of those could have been picked if they were tipped again. He had bad luck during the season. But I personally like that he has stuck to that aggression because when the receivers actually come through and when, you know, the offense is rolling, he is so hard to stop.
We want to come up with a new category. It's called RCI, Receiver Caused Interception. Because
I like that.
Because there are moments where the wide receiver runs a different route or he has it in his hands and it goes through and then it's on the quarterback. Because Dak had, I think, 4 receiver caused interceptions this year. Can you work that into NFL Live?
I love that. Honestly, it feels like there were more, to be honest. Yes, 1,000%. It is why interception rate is so deceiving. And it was such a bummer to me, too, that week 18 he had that horrible game because I was like, oh, this is what people actually who don't watch Dak closely think he's been all year. You know what I mean? He was awful. But for the most part, a lot of those interceptions really, really were not his fault.
And Orlovsky will love this because he always blamed his receivers for all of his interceptions.
Yeah, but he's not like the biggest Dak. I don't know if he'll love it. But I do like the stat. I do like the stat.
We're talking to Mina Kimes, NFL Live, Monday through Friday on the Mothership at 4 Eastern. I'm going to make you the GM or the owner of the Ravens. How do you clean this mess up?
Well, I actually really was encouraged by John Harbaugh coming out and saying that Lamar Jackson was going to help pick the next offensive coordinator. That's, if you're a Ravens fan, that's the exact thing you want to hear. I want to say, you know, giving Lamar Jackson anything close to the Deshaun Watson contract, you know, huge deal with a ton of guaranteed money. By the way, the reports are he really wasn't offered that much, but always hard to get specifics about that relative to the other elite quarterbacks. But I get that, you know, he has had injuries. But to me, you have to do it not just because of the caliber of play, the MVP season, the fact that everyone in the locker room seems to adore him and you want to reward your best players. But I don't really see what the Ravens would do if they didn't pay Lamar Jackson. They're not going to get one of the free agent or trade quarterbacks, I believe. And then if they were to get like a Godfather draft package from, you know, one of the guys picking at the top, I mean, how many quarterbacks have we seen in the first round flame out over the last few years? It just feels like such a crapshoot when you have a bird in hand who has an elite skill set. So I would pay him. I would get it done this offseason. And then I would find an offensive coordinator who can grow the passing game as well as bringing in a number one wide receiver.
But I wonder if the Ravens can give him the deal the Browns gave to Deshaun Watson, because the other owners were reportedly angry that you're giving him $230 million guaranteed. Now, can the Ravens, who probably, you know, voice their displeasure with the Browns, do the same thing with Lamar Jackson?
I don't think they have to. There has to be a middle ground. So the reports were that they offered him less guaranteed money than Josh Allen got. And to me, you know, if you guys know, being the highest paid quarterback is like being the oldest living human being. You just kind of lived longer. Like, it's just about the passage of time. And like, it felt like, okay, well, if you're doing the deal after, you got to give him more. And it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be fully guaranteed, but you have to offer him something that's commensurate not only with his value, but where the quarterback market is moving directionally.
I was wondering how many great quarterbacks we have in the NFL. I'm gonna have Brady and Aaron Rodgers emeritus, but Mahomes is great. Joe Burrow's great. Josh Allen's great. Right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, who else is great?
Great. Like, well, I think you just named the guys in the top tier. I would personally put Justin Herbert in there. Not everybody agrees with that, but to me, he is an elite quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts has pushed himself into that conversation this season with his play as a passer, not just as a runner. I would say maybe great, somewhere between great and good. What's a good adjective? Awesome, I guess. Well, no, awesome sounds better than great. Really good. There's a lot of really good quarterbacks after that.
High end.
Honestly, I think Trevor Lawrence is in there. Like, I just think he's played such good football. I would put Dak Prescott in there, by the way. I also think he's played really, really, really good football. Those would probably be in that next tier for me.
Yeah, because I think we thought we were, you know, moving on with Roethlisberger and Breeze, and we were going to be in a good spot where there are going to be all these great quarterbacks. And it feels like there's only three of them. I want to see Jalen Hurts in the playoffs. I want to see Dak Prescott in the playoffs, because to me, that's where we measure greatness, or we're ready to christen you as great when we say playoff results.
Well, guys, Dak Prescott, I can't overstate this enough. His performance against Tampa is certainly the best quarterbacking performance thus far the postseason, but honestly, one of the best, like, statistically, if you go into all like the nerd stats, like EPA per play and his efficiency, and you know, it ranks up there with some of the best performances we've seen of the last 5 years. And people are kind of poo-pooing Tampa as being a terrible team, and they are a bad team, but that offense is not, or defense, pardon me, it was not terrible. And Todd Bowles is a very good defensive coordinator, and he just carved them up. I mean, I was so impressed by that game.
Great to talk to you, Mina. Thank you. We appreciate your time.
Bye, guys. Have a great day.
And that's Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, and Monday through Friday on NFL Live for Eastern. The NFL-centric podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny, her dog. Yeah, Paul?
If I would have told you in August we would casually be throwing Jalen Hurts out there as a top 7-8 quarterback, I mean, it's easy to think of now when they're, what is he, 14-1 as a starter this year? Mm-hmm. But we did a segment in August. Who, I don't know if it was more pressure. Who can go one way or another the most this season? It was Tua and Jalen Hurts. We did a day on it.
Yeah.
There was big, big question marks if they should upgrade at Jalen Hurts. That was a topic offseason.
But this was also brought up in Philadelphia that, hey, you got two first-round picks. If it doesn't work out, people were looking at Tua. Hey, if it doesn't work out. So that wasn't something that, you know, we just pulled out of thin air. It was something that was real. and now Jalen Hurts. I just want to see what you do in the postseason. And yes, Dak Prescott had a great game against Tampa Bay. This game here, if he has a really good game against this defense. By the way, San Francisco's defense hasn't been great the last month. I think the numbers bear that out. But if he's great on the road, divisional game against San Francisco, then maybe he is elevated to where we have less analysis of, well, I don't know, Dak, you know, is he an elite quarterback? This is where you make a name for yourself when you win these kind of games, that we don't forget these things. I mean, I still remember, you know, Michael Vick winning a playoff game in Green Bay or Eli Manning winning a playoff game in Green Bay. You know, like, wow, you know, those things stand out. And, you know, moving on to get to a Super Bowl, winning a Super Bowl. I think a lot of times we look at the Super Bowl and we don't look what happened earlier, the other playoff games. And it should all, you know, factor in there. Let me take a break. If you're watching on Peacock, Tyler is putting the finishing touches on Meat Friday, Chinese barbecue pork and pork and vegetable dumplings. Got a fire going outside, a little chill, little nip in the air. Oh, it looks good.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.